So here we are, and the system is broke. American dream has gone up in smoke. So stop sitting there all brokenhearted. Let's get this motherfucking party started. Lady Liberty is ringing a bell, and we're driving us straight into hell. But don't worry, we got what you need. Crank up the volume till your eardrums bleed. Go and make America, America again.
Content slot for the piggies.
Yeah, there you go.
Makes me so uncomfortable.
I love it though. I do too. You guys do too.
We love it whether we know it or not.
Yeah. Well, it's like, so back when I was like, my page was like a business account before I went private. Now it's back open, but it's like more personal account. You got like all the metrics, right? Like,
yeah.
You go into IG's like little business suite things, and anytime I would post something for the piggies, and like specifically using those words, my interactions would plummet. It was very funny to watch.
It's hilarious, dude.
Yeah. they're just like I'm not a piggy, I'm not a pig.
No, you're not a piggy, you're not a pig, but you are a piggy.
Mm-hmm. Your little snout is in my content trough, and you're just like,
mm-hmm. It wouldn't make me so uncomfortable if you weren't like a jacked athletic dude that could probably, who knows jujitsu, who could definitely kill me in a fight. Like, that's what it really comes down to, is like man over man. Who is dominating who? And if I could confidently take you in a fight, I wouldn't care what you called me. If you called me piggy,
right,
call me bitch, whatever. But like, it being you, and all things considered, aside from the fact that you're the nicest dude I know, I'm like, he calls me piggy, I kind of feel like a little violated.
It's not, it comes from a place of love. It really does. It's like, I'm not like trying to like, I don't want to go down this road, but it's like, I'm not like a dom. You know what I mean? I'm not like trying to like drag people around by like collars and leashes around here. It's just like, it's for my own personal like enjoyment, yeah, in a weird way.
Awesome.
Like, I just, it's very funny. And it's like, I don't mean to like, I never mean it for any, like, if I make you uncomfortable, okay, that's kind of good. I like that part, but I don't mean it in a bad way.
It is, you know what it is? It's like, oh man, it's like the feeling I had the first time I found out I was attracted to a trans woman.
Okay.
And I hadn't parsed, this was years ago. And then I found out that she wasn't a biological woman. And I was like, does this make me gay? And I was like,
wait a second.
No, I don't think so, because I'm attracted to femininity. And I don't think finding somebody objectively attractive means that you're, you know, whatever that means. And same thing. I was like, man, I don't know what it is about Jim. Like, we've talked about this. I was like, I don't know what it is about Jim calling me piggy, but it makes me feel a certain way. I don't know what it is. It makes me slightly uncomfortable, but in a good way.
Yeah. It's low-key hot. Like, we can all admit it. It's like, I'm like 99% straight. I'm just like your basic cis white,
same
gendered, right, dude. Same. But I look at pictures of Luigi Mangione in court, and like, there's a very physical reaction I have. Like, I get like the tingles. I get like the heat that just like goes down through the body. I'm like, guy, like, what are you doing?
That's
like,
awesome.
Free my man, Luigi. Like, geez.
He's like, whatchamacallit? Do you remember what was his name? Like, the felon that people wanted the contract to be a model. He was like a light-skinned dude with blue eyes.
Yeah, yeah. You see his mugshot, and you're just like...
Yeah, yeah. And it turns out he's like a violent felon, not the cool kind. But
not like a fun felon.
Not a fun felon. Yeah, like tax crimes or, you know.
Yeah. Or, you know, just... Or murdering CEOs, you know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But,
doing people's work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, man, you know, that's always been something that I've thought of is, you know, I'm big on felons should get their rights back, you know, once they've done their time, because otherwise, what's the point of doing time? If it's punitive, you shouldn't have to pay any price after the fact. You should be done.
Right, exactly.
Square one.
Right.
And I've always maintained that, except for violent felons. But violent felonies, there's a wide range of violent felonies. And even then, it's entirely subjective, and makes me wonder, like, same thing. Okay, if you're deemed to be fit to go back into society, shouldn't you have every right you left with? You know, if you murder a person and you get convicted of manslaughter, and you do 8 years and you get out, if you're getting set free, doesn't that mean that you're safe to be around?
Right. Like, somebody has made that determination.
Yeah.
You've done the crime, you've done the time.
But that's also, it depends on whether or not you believe prison is punitive or rehabilitative. And I don't think it's rehabilitative in its current state.
In America, it is 100% not rehabilitative whatsoever. No. It is purely 1,000% punitive. And I think, and that's why recidivism is so high.
For sure.
It's because there are zero opportunities for former prisoners in society. There's a huge stigma. The resources within prison to do rehabilitative care are severely underfunded and lacking. And for a lot of these guys, and I say guys in a, you know, pan-gendered way, they go in at such a young age, and it's an institution. And anytime you're institutionalized at such a young age, and then like you go in at 18, you come out at 28, you have no idea how the world works. You don't have any opportunities. So it's like the only thing you know is literally life in a box. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, well, how do I get back into the box? I go and, you know, I do another crime, and then you're back into the same system.
Into a familiar environment.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's where you've thrived for, you know, maybe not thrived, but that's where you've survived for the last 10 years of your life. And you have literal generations of prisoners. You have guys who went at 18, got out in their 20s, you know, maybe had a kid, went back. Mm-hmm. That kid grows up without any real structure, any real like mentorship or anything like that. They end up in prison. And then it's like you have dad and, you know, offspring in the same system. And it's just like it layers onto itself from there.
And it blows my mind that people are like, you got the racist trope of, you know, the idea that certain populations end up in prison because they don't know anything else, or they don't have like the capabilities of climbing out of, you know, there. I just had this conversation with somebody the other day, which is why I it was like in the forefront of my mind. They were insinuating that the reason the percentage of people of color in prison is the way it is because they're predispositioned to be that way. And I said, well, you're not wrong, but it's not for the reasons that you're assuming it is. It's because generationally, when you've grown up in a system that literally just recycles you because your dad went to prison, so you grew up without a father figure. So you grew up in a single parent household with single parent income, probably had to work multiple jobs, barely spent any time with that parent as a result. Probably spent some time, you know, in not a great school system, or didn't have the motivation to study because you didn't have a solid home foundation. And then you end up getting into crime and end up in prison like your father. This could happen to anybody. It's just that Black people are in that position already, thanks to redlining, thanks to gerrymandering. You know, I'm not saying all, it's vastly dependent on your neighborhood, which is it. And yeah, I was just talking to this person, and it's like they had never followed the breadcrumbs before, and they were just perfectly content in believing that it was just because they're Black. This is the way they act. And it blows my mind how people get to even like their 20s, like mid 20s, without coming to these realizations or having these kind of conversations with people they disagree with. And you know, this guy was in his mid 50s and had not thought.
Oh, well, shit. Yeah. It's in part of that. And it's funny, you know, my partner and I were talking about this very subject this morning about just like how they don't teach critical thinking in schools. Most public schools are kind of like handcuffed to a state, you know, a state test so that they can, the school can itself can get funding kind of thing. So the schools are forced to teach a test. And instead of, so it's like this heavy emphasis on stuff that's covered in the test, you know, it's mostly math and English skills, maybe a little bit of like history, maybe a little bit of science, like scattered in there. But like those extra things like, hey, media literacy, critical thinking, economics, you know, in broad, like macroeconomics, like broad stroke kind of economics, like stuff that it would actually be useful to people in the real world. You know, it never gets touched on in the public school systems. You have to go almost go to like a Montessori school or like some sort of private school, you know, to get that type of stuff. And even then it's like, it's not great. And why is that? It's because, you know, the powers that be want a dumb populace or easier to control or easy to manipulate.
So you support RFK getting rid of the Board of Ed?
No, like, see, I don't support anything RFK Jr. fucking supports. So it's funny about that too.
Well, I do. It's funny how like a broken clock can be right twice a day kind of thing. He wants to ban certain things and foods that I agree with. And then he talks about like how we need to ban fluoride and like ban SSRIs. And I'm like, all right, dude, you fucking lost me. Like, we could agree on things and then you just go straight off the fucking deep end.
Well, the worm loses control for like a couple minutes there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, have you seen that meme where it's the, remember those books we had as kids and it's like the worm driving the apple car,
yes.
You know, with a little like mountain climber, like German mountain climber hat, whatever, I don't know what the fuck it's called, but
yes.
It's like the meme is just like the worm in RFK Jr.'s brain, like driving to work or whatever. It's like, I pops up in my algo feeds it to me like once a week. And I'm just like, I always get a little chuckle out of it. What's funny about RFK Jr. So over the summer I was interning at a small clinic and they promote functional medicine, which is more like, hey, let's get to root causes of these chronic issues that you have, right? Opposed to like conventional medicine, which kind of relies mostly on chemical treatment and more conventional approaches to medicine. I think it was right after the elections and Trump had basically like locked everything in. This very strange, low-key kind of hippie-ish woman started hanging around the clinic. And we were asking like, hey, you know, and she was like just in the waiting room and we're like, do you have an appointment? Like here to see somebody. And she's like, oh no, I'm from Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s team or whatever. And we were coming out here to like kind of assess this clinic and see about bringing like the clinical director on board. And that was like, that was scary as fuck.
Assess this dick.
Yeah. Assess this nuts.
Yeah.
You know?
In a like, non-sexually assaulting way.
Yeah, yeah, no, like in the most polite way possible. Please stuff these nuts. And I was just an intern. I had no like say in anything, but that was fucking strange to me. Yeah, it was like maybe a week after the election. Yeah, so I was just like, oh, you guys are moving quick. Holy shit. If I can circle back to Luigi Mangione for a second. I'm going to circle back. I forgot who said it. It might have been Ukraine Eddie. When I posted a bunch of pictures of Luigi this past week, in the courtroom, I think it was Ukraine Eddie. And if it wasn't him, and I'm miscrediting this, then I apologize. But I think he was just like, yeah, he can give me back shots. And I was like, yeah, buddy, perfect.
That's awesome.
Brian Thompson should only be so lucky.
Who's Brian Thompson?
He was the guy he allegedly.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad I already forgot his name.
Yeah, same.
I went to school with a Brian Thompson. No relation. He was a cool dude.
No relation. Yeah, yeah. Noted drunk driver and human piece of shit, Brian Thompson from United Healthcare, formerly of United Healthcare.
Not that everyone who drives drunk is a piece of shit for that reason, but.
Yeah, well, it's like when you drive drunk and then you go into the office and then decide to pick an AI that just on its own can.
The drunk driving is an additional piece of shit thing.
Yeah, a little cherry on top. So, like, yeah, you're a
not that we're saying that you should go out and go you know, grab your keys after having a couple of road sodas, but
nope. You get an Uber. Uber is so easy.
Yeah, Uber is super easy. My dad went to prison for multiple DUIs. It's so funny. This guy had the worst fucking luck. So in Connecticut, if you get two DUIs within a certain time frame, you go to jail. Mm-hmm. You go to prison. His first one, he was like, he actually claims that he was sober. He was already pulled over. His girlfriend at the time was shithoused and they got lost on the way to our house. So they pulled over so they could figure out where they were. A cop pulled up behind them, ended up asking them where they were going. She was from the UK, Liverpool.
Yeah.
So she wasn't used to cops being aggressive over here. So she starts arguing with the cop, gets both of them pulled out of the car. They end up throwing my dad in the cop car to separate the two of them. And then end up booking him with a DUI without a breathalyzer. Dude, it's so fucking weird. And then the second time he admits to being drunk, he was moving his car out of a parking space into another parking space from a temporary parking to a like overnight parking. And he bumped into a car. The bouncer at the bar that he was at, who he's been friends with for like 30 years, called the cops on him.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it was fucked. And my dad knew the guy whose car he hit, so I guarantee they could have settled it, you know, outside of.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and if it was like little like love tap or whatever.
Yeah, he bumped into it in a parking lot, backing out of a spot. So my dad went to jail for that. That's why I'm like, you know, okay, DUI, you know, everything has a spectrum. If you're, you know, limit and you mow down a family of four, you know, you're a piece of shit. I mean, there's a lot in between what my dad did and there where you could also be a piece of shit.
Of course.
But
yeah, of course. Yeah. It's not like a scarlet letter. You know what I mean? It's not like you're going to wear that around your neck forever.
Yeah, no, exactly. He, although, dude, there's not much more demoralizing and dehumanizing than having to blow into a machine to get your car to start.
Yeah.
There were a couple times where, like, the machine wasn't working properly. He was stone cold sober, and the machine wouldn't let him drive. Yeah. And I just, like, seeing the rage build up in his face, like, this, fuck. And you have to pay for it monthly. You had to pay, like, $250 a month. It's for subscription. It's nuts.
Yeah. It's like another form of almost like, it's like punitive on top of punitive. I was going to say it's like another form of slavery, and I caution myself to say that.
It's worse of a punishment for poor people.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's definitely like a, because rich guys, well, number one, rich guys like can be driven someplace, you know what I mean? Or $250 a month isn't going to break their bottom line. What's funny about that is like, okay, so me having been a salaried employee for the last like 17 years, you know, through the military, and in the last like the last half of that making somewhat decent money, like a year ago, if you'd been like, oh, hey, this is like a $250 fee every month, I wouldn't have sweated. As of the beginning of this year, becoming a wage employee and not making a whole lot of money, and depending on those VA benefits, depending on, you know, some other stuff, you know, I've got on the side, it's like $250 would like fucking break me. If I like had to survive on my own, like there's no way, like that would be almost, you know, like an eighth of my monthly take home would be evaporated. Yeah. And that's like, and for a lot of people, they like that's groceries, or that's
absolutely
know, like another means of survival. It's fucking crazy. It's super fucking crazy.
I've always maintained the idea that if a crime's punishment is a fine, it is only meant to hurt poor people. Is because there's no 100%. What's the point of paying some unless like, it scales to your income, which they don't.
Oh, okay, fair.
Then it's only meant to hurt poor people.
Yeah,
that's something I've seen proposed multiple times, that your fine amount is based off of your income. It's based on a percentage of your income for all tickets, parking, speeding, things like that, and it always gets struck down because, you know, why would these politicians? why would they say, yeah, we should absolutely do that, knowing that their parking ticket is now going to be $3,000 versus the $250 or $200 that they were paying. You know, that's like a bad parking ticket, but
yeah, they'll hear it. They'll hear it from their friends. You know what I mean? Like their rich buddies are going to be the ones like, oh, on the golf course, hey Bob, you know, this new legislation here with scaled fines, it's really hurting me in the backside. You know, can we work on something like that? And this brings me to another topic I was going to bring up too, is like, okay, so I've been seeing a lot on social media, you know, with how crazy things have been going with the Doge shit, with Trump shit, all this other stuff, and people have been like calling and trying to email their representatives, and a lot of the feedback has been like, I can't get through to anybody, like. It says the voicemail box is full, or like it just no one picks up the phone, or it just you know, it's a busy signal or something like that, or the emails are going unread. And it's like, do people not know those are like pacification measures? Like,
yeah,
like those numbers, like best case scenario, there's maybe like an intern who has to like listens to 3 seconds of a voicemail, then skips it, goes to the next one, and it's just like, it's a, like filtering for something that might be slightly important.
Yeah,
the emails are probably going to some general mailbox that like no one's looking at, kind of a thing, if it goes anywhere at all.
100%. I've gotten an email back from a representative before, but it was a local rep, like for the district that I lived in. It wasn't anything bigger than that.
I got when I was attempting to commission and I was going into OCS, and this was like 2010, 2011, I emailed one of my state representatives. At the time, Maine, I think, only had two. And so I emailed whoever was in my district, and I got a phone call back 2 weeks later from an intern, and they didn't sound like they had a fucking clue about what I was trying to do. And I was just like, is there somebody like on the staff, like someone who's like salaried, that we might understand what I'm getting to? And it just went, and it went literally nowhere. And that's so tough. I imagine like 15 years later, because all I wanted at that time was just like a letter of recommendation, because I knew like, hey, if it comes on, you know, U.S. representative letterhead, it would be a slam dunk for me.
Yeah.
Like spoilers, I got into OCS, not a big deal.
But yeah.
But you know, nowadays I feel like that shit is not, calling is not enough, emailing is not enough. you got to go down there in person.
Like, it's in a, and I understand, you know, it's like Chinese drip torture, you know, in the sense that, like, after a while, these politicians, it's just like, it's so repetitive to them. But I've gone down and testified against bills before, or in favor of bills before. And by the time it gets to you and you ask, you know, you say like, hey, you know, I'm willing to answer any questions you might have. They don't want to talk to you. They just want to get on to the next person because they've been there for 7 hours. And I get that also. Imagine the death by PowerPoint, but it's a person, and not every and every person is a different PowerPoint, and some of them suck to listen to. Like I get that some people who testify should not be testifying, but they should, because it's their right to do it. It's just, they're not compelling. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it's not,
they need coaching.
Yes. Yes.
They need to practice, do some rehearsals.
Yeah. Like, them testifying isn't helping a cause. It's just, it's them checking a box. Yes.
Do some open mic nights, get to a tight five, and then, you know, then go.
Yep. Exactly.
But yeah, like, so that was my whole advice to people, is like, hey, go down there in person. Yep. And I understand that might not be feasible, like taking time off from work or for your life, you know, and all this other shit to drive down to some office that's probably closed. And obviously, if you're going to like a local office, like, there might be like, again, like some intern that's like staffing it by themselves, and you're not gonna, but like every action like that, it creates like a cost. That intern now has to like write an email, right? And that email has to be read by an actual staffer, and it goes up a chain, right? And if you keep at it, and enough people are doing it, that's like creating a lot of strain on a system. And maybe that intern quits, so now they have to hire a new intern and train this new intern, and that imposes a cost. And it's just like, just people need to be, I think, a little bit more active, and not just, oh, I'll try calling to like complain, or I'll leave a voicemail, or I'll leave an email. Yeah. What would be better? And I am not advocating for people.
Oh, let's go.
Crimes. But
what would be better is crime.
I'm just saying, like, it's not hard to figure out, like, you know, if someone's got kids and where those kids go to school.
And here's the thing. Like, I do think at a point, you know, we are saying we're not there yet, but I think at some point we have to be considerate of the fact that there is a point of no return. And once you cross that event horizon, I fucking love that movie. Democracy is not going to be available anymore in the way that you expect it to be. And that goes both ways, because I agree with you that at a certain point, when politicians aren't listening, something needs to be done to make them listen. And I use Luigi as an example, because that sure shit made CEOs listen, but now what? Now there's not much going on since then, or that we can tell. They just made all of their bios private on their websites. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think, I don't know, man, I have a soft spot for kids, because as a dad, I know there are people out there who hate me because they don't understand, or they think I do something that I don't, or because I don't know, because they don't want equal rights for everyone and whatnot. I'd rather you come up and put one in the back of my head than ever even threaten and like cause fear to my child, you know? And that is also a motivator for them to do something. But like, to me, it's like, you know, I don't know, if somebody threatened my kid, I would want to not do what I was doing harder and then now come after them instead. Like, okay, you haven't convinced me. You've just now made an enemy. And I think once you start doing that, all it takes is for the side with more power to say, okay, well, we're going to play by the same rules. And then you've got a shitty situation. I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is there, though. Like, that's the thing. And, you know, revolution is not peaceful also. So
no, nothing worth having was ever easily taken, right? Or whatever that saying is. I'd push back on your first point about like, oh, well, democracy, you know, won't be there anymore. Democracy as we've known it won't be there. Has democracy been there?
Yeah.
Like,
have you
felt adequately represented?
I don't know, because this is the thing. I think in the sense that, so we live in a democratic republic, and in the sense that we have, you know, our representatives who represent us, it's not a straight up popular election. Is it doing its job? I don't know, because I don't know where my vote goes, to be honest. I know that I live in a blue state, so regardless of how I vote for the presidency, it's going to go to the Democratic candidate. So that's like, I voted third party this year because I was like, my two reps are going to vote blue. So it's not going to, it doesn't matter. If I lived in a swing state, you know, I would have probably voted differently. But is that fair representation if we are okay with a democratic republic being our form of government? Then I think it is. Is it equitable? I don't know. You know, and that's like, it's the kind of democracy that we have to wonder, is that the kind of democracy that is doing the best for us? Or, you know, would a pop, I don't think a popular vote is the way to go. I think that's a good way to largely forget a massive portion of the population that is not in, you know, big cities, or, I mean, honestly, there's just not going to be equal representation across the board because people in big cities are going to have different priorities than people in rural areas. And that's just how it works.
Right.
People in rural areas are going to get left out in the cold because they don't have as many people to vote. But yeah, I don't know. You know, it's a good question. Is democracy working for us now? Because people will say that Trump won because it would just, I'm going down a rabbit hole now.
It's a lot.
My Adderall is worn off, but like, it's funny. Yep. Nobody claimed the election was rigged when Trump won.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Those guys got real quiet. Right.
Yeah.
Here's my solution. Right. I also don't believe in a straight up popular vote. I say treat it like jury duty. Right. Every 3 years we get one of those big lottery ball things, like that has all the balls spinning around inside of it, and it's got everyone's social security number and shit on it, because our social security numbers are already everywhere anyway. It doesn't matter. Fuck it. And for every like geographic district or whatever, it's like 10 people. We're gonna pull 10 numbers out of this geographic location, like zip code, whatever. Congratulations, you're now congressional delegation for this district. You 10 people, right? Report to DC. You're going to be making $46,000 a year, and there will be a small army of bureaucrats who are very familiar with like how governance is supposed to work that will be advisors. But yeah, it's going to be up to this hodgepodge of jurists to guide government for the next 3 years. And then every 3 years, hey, it's congressional lottery time. Let's go.
It's interesting because, I mean, if you're putting the future of somebody's life in the hands of a jury, then how is that different? If your sample size grows with the amount of people that you govern, you know, so like if you're doing that for the country, I don't think it should be up to 12 people. I think it should be up to a larger, you know, percentage, but whatever. But yeah. That's an interesting thing to, I would love to figure that out in a vacuum and, you know, see if that's, honestly, I feel like we're at a point in time where in this country where we could just do experiments. Like, we could just see if it works. Okay. At this point, like, could it get worse?
This year, I'm experimenting with not filing my taxes because fuck it. You laugh, but like, there might not even be an IRS by April 15th or whatever the fuck tax day is. Like, fuck it. Like, I don't care. What are you gonna do?
The thing about not filing your taxes is like, if you're just delaying the inevitable anyway, like whether you have to pay or not, or owe, or you get money back, it's just, you're just waiting a year.
It's such a ridiculous concept.
Well, it's stupid because they know what you owe.
They know what you owe.
Yeah.
And they're taking it out of every paycheck.
Yeah. No, the whole point of the whole reason we have to file our taxes is because companies lobbied for it.
Yeah. Yeah. H&R Block, TurboTax. Also, fuck Run the Jewels.
What's that?
Run the Jewels, they were this kind of like punkish hip hop group. It's like Big Mike and this dude from New York, LP. They've put out a couple albums, and it was very like anti-establishment, anti-corporate, anti-fascist kind of shit. And now this year, I think like one of the tax filing companies, big corporate tax companies, like is using the rights, like bought the rights to one of their songs, or like they're collaborating or whatever. So now one of the Run the Jewel songs is like the theme song for H&R Block or whichever fucking one it is. And it's just like antithetical to what Run the Jewels once, like they sold out is what I'm saying, is that they fucking sold out. They sold out in like the most corporate fucking way ever.
That sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks. What can you do?
Yeah.
Also, hey, I got just changing gears drastically. Are you guys ever going to like put out a better way to a like underwear? Because I'd love to model that for you guys.
Dude, this is like the third time you've said you want to do some like steamy content for us. And I'm not sure how to approach this, because it's funny because I, you know, there's a lot of these, like, do you follow Weapon Outfitters?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They have like Weapon Outfitters After Dark, but it's never dudes. It's always a chick, you know, a very attractive woman doing stuff. And there are tons of women in the gun industry that, even if you're modeling underwear that men would buy, like modeling for women. That's really, you know, or gay dudes or bi dudes or whatever, you know,
whatever.
Curious, supposedly heterosexual men who choose not to look away because their wives are not in the same room as them. But I'm for
CPAC it. CPAC is going on right now. And every year CPAC happens, they're like Grindr's servers are just like just the fuck out in that like location, and it's just like, oh really?
I'd be down if you wanted to rock a plate carrier and like some fucking skivvies or something like that. I don't give a shit.
Okay.
I would love to send love to the people who would appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like we'll get a better two-way branded undies,
some
chaps. Like whatever.
Chaps. What about jorts?
Summer is like around the corner, and that's why I bring this up. You're gonna need swimwear. You're gonna need jorts.
If you can help us model swimwear, I'm so down. Because that's
I'm in there like swimwear.
I have a set of swim trunks that hates. They are American flag shorts, and they are short, like 4-inch inseam short. They have a net on the inside, thankfully, because if they didn't. Like I could not wear them outside, but I wore them tubing.
Yeah, once the goose would be loose,
bro. The goose would be out in the world. I'm not talking about I'd be, you know, free balling it out in open air. It's just, you know, when you start moving around, physics is not your friend.
No.
I would say there's a market for that, and you know, if not, who cares? This wouldn't be the first thing I've tried and failed at. So
yeah, I think if you're gonna hit the gas on this, you'll need to start like
April,
putting it out by like April. I was thinking like maybe mid-April. So what I'm hearing is then I need to like step it up in the gym between like now and April. All right,
no, I'm certainly not gonna be modeling underwear.
No, you should though.
I mean, I can listen, I'll do it here's the thing, I'm not like upset about my body. Like I've got right. The dad bod look pretty down, but like I'm barrel chested, you know, like I'm not just like soft looking. I mean, I'm kind of soft, but like, I'm not the best shape I've ever been in, but, I'm pale as fuck. And that's like my kryptonite. Like we need to, you ever see the movie Powder?
I'm pink. Yes.
You're pink. Yeah.
I'm pink.
How old are you?
43.
That's why you've seen Powder. Nobody my age knows what that movie is.
Yeah.
I'm not, you're 10 years older than me. It's not that big of a difference, but Powder was a great movie. But I always like my dad and I would joke about it. Cause my dad was tan as fuck. My dad also like got crazy skin cancer, but because he was always baking himself, but he would always call me Powder, like joking. It was at night I tend to glow.
That's why you're gonna do the night shoots at Brutality, right?
Because sure.
you're your own night vision.
Yeah,
like just the glow 100%. Coming off, it just lights up the whole ranch. Yeah, that's actually that's a great passive ability. Shit, you should like lean into that more,
right? I'm pumped for the night shoot at Brutality because our friend Ben is going to loan me dual psionics.
Dual tubes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like digital.
Yeah.
I've never shot with digital MVGs. I've played with them before, but I think it's going to be sick and it'll be cool to kind of get a... I think there's some utility in a review from somebody who doesn't know what the fuck they're doing because I can't mask inadequacies. Like I'm going to tell you exactly how it helped me and exactly how it didn't. And, you know, if it made me a better shooter at night, awesome. If it made me like not as good as I would have shot with white light, I'm gonna know that, you know, because it's like I've got the basic level of competency down, but I'm not I don't know. If I put it on, I'm like, it made me sick. That's gonna tell somebody, hey, maybe if this is my first set of nods, I probably shouldn't buy it.
Right. I'll say from my own personal experience, like I came up with like the PBS-14s, like the monocular thing, right? And it was fine. And where they shine is if you have like the laser illuminator.
Yes.
And I think there was an episode, I can't remember if it was with Tactical Girlfriend that you guys did with or somebody, but they were talking about how they had gotten like recently into nods, and it was like such a game changer for like nighttime stuff. And that whole episode made me, I busted out the credit card and was like, I'm buying fucking nods. Fuck it. Like I will Klarna four easy payments of $8.99, you know, like fuck it. But then when I went out to Colorado and I was working with Tent Group, they all had like the 31s, which is like the Pano Bridge dual tubes that are like super clear, like the white phosphorus type shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And because like it's Colorado, you go a couple miles from Colorado Springs into the hills, you can just shoot coyotes for like, you know, like there's, you don't need a permit or anything. You just go out there.
They're invasive.
Yeah, because they're super invasive, but it's like everybody out there, like there's nobody living really out there. And it's, you know, you're just shooting from like one hill into another. It's fairly safe. So I would just check out like a pair of, not like a set of 31s. I take my work rifle upper out. I would check that out of the arms room, like on a Friday night. And I would go into the hills on the weekends and just sit out there and just like plink coyotes.
You could just check out your issued rifle?
Not the whole rifle, just the upper.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Right. But that on there, I would have like my illuminator, like my PEC 15 or whatever, you know, the optic that I was running at that time. And then like the can. And I'd be like, hey, I'm going to check this out for the weekend. And the arms room guy, like, they're like a team guy. So like, they know, they're like, yeah, whatever. And I'm taking these nods too. I just sit out there in my little, like in my whoopee, like leaned up against the hill, you know, and just watching the coyotes like come down over like the next ridge. And just, it was like shooting fish in a barrel, only it was coyotes on a hill. Yeah. It was, and it was such a game changer. It was like, this is like, I was just grinning ear to ear the entire time.
Shooting with nods with like an IR laser is like cheating. Mm-hmm. It feels like cheating.
Yeah.
It's so cheating. Fucking cool. Yeah. I remember the first time I did it and just being like, I'm in a fucking video game. This is the future.
Yeah. And it's like, when you think, looking back at like GWAT and shit, and we'll never fight a war like the GWAT ever again. The next wars will be near peer competitor. It'll be China. It'll be Russia, like whatever, who have night vision capabilities. They, you know, they'll be just as easily picking us off until like we figure out the next like counter to night vision, and they figure out how to defeat that counter, and we're countering theirs and all sort of shit, right? But during the GWAT years, it's laughable. It's just laughable. It's
yeah, because you were fighting a force that didn't have night vision capabilities at all, and
or what little they had were like old Russian hand-me-downs that somehow had managed to get their way into Afghanistan, but like they were like second gen night vision when even the most basic infantry private had like, I don't know, whatever like gen PVS 14s were, like fourth gen, fifth gen or some shit like that. So it's like they're looking at it like it'd be like trying to play Call of Duty Modern Warfare like on 8-bit pixel, like in Super Mario graphics from back in the day, versus somebody playing on like a high speed gaming computer with like the graphics cranked all the way up. Like that's the difference. Yeah. Like sure, something's moving over there, some object. I don't know what the fuck that is, because it's like this blurry pixelated piece of shit that's like over there. Meanwhile, this guy's like can see you like squinting at it from 100 meters away, you know.
It's nuts. And seeing how this stuff is, I'm really excited to see digital night vision kind of improve over the next few years. I think we're going to be seeing that more as you know, our chip technology increases or improves. Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing I'm excited to figure out is the only thing I've heard people complain about, aside from it being unable to view certain parts of the IR spectrum, the latency. Yeah. And I don't know, I have no concept of what that is, because I've only ever used only ever used PVS 14s.
Right.
And there's no latency. It's just, you know, but you're stuck with either green or white. You know, it'll be cool to see. It'll be cool to see how that affects things in a safe environment where your enemy's not shooting back at you. What I have to figure out is, last year I brought a mount with me that connected to my phone so that I could mount a PVS 14 to my phone case. And it was awesome because mm-hmm. I was able to record directly through it. And I want to see if there's a way to do that with the Psionics also.
I'm sure they make, in this day and age of like putting everything on social media and shit, I'm sure they have a mount. If not, reach out to Yeezy Prince and see if he can't just like
bring 100%. That's exactly what I was going to say. I'm sure he could.
Now, for the listeners and for myself as well, like what is the key difference between digital night vision and your traditional? Is it that latency where there's like just enough of a little bit of a lag? Is that the big difference between the two? Like, how's battery life versus like traditional night vision?
So traditional night vision pros, you've got high sensitivity, so it's got great contrast for low levels of light, works in near total darkness, real-time imaging, so there's no latency, reliable. They are expensive though, the tubes degrade over time, and they focus solely on real-time viewing, so there's not really like recording or digital zoom. Pros of digital night vision Video recording, snapshot capture, digital zoom, and image processing. Okay. They're more durable. Yeah. Especially, this was the thing that I remember Ben saying, especially against exposure to bright light, because it just gates. It just
blows the tube.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. It just filters it out. Or shuts off, essentially. They're more budget friendly. It says cons, potential for digital noise. Yeah, that makes sense. Digital noise in low light conditions, latency. So there might be a slight lag in the image processing, which can be a concern in fast moving scenarios. And they have lower low light performance. So yeah.
Yeah, I'd be curious to, how you like them.
Yeah, I'll have a set of PVS-14s also, and I would love to do like a side-by-side comparison, because I figure it'll be, I don't know, last year was tough because they really have the night shoot buttoned up so that people don't get fucking shot, which is a good thing, you know? So
yes.
I think we'll be able to have time before or after I actually shoot to like step away and record some stuff. But yeah, we'll see. It'd be good to compare and contrast.
Yeah. Real curious, because like, number one, I'm a huge advocate for making night vision as accessible as possible, because it's just, for sure, it's just good tech, and like, why not? And I think the biggest gate for people is just like the entry level cost. And it's honestly, I'm also an advocate of like the buy once, cry once thing. And can you find like used PVS-14s online for like $1,000 or $1,500, whatever?
Not good ones.
Really?
Yeah. You could probably get like Milsurp PVS-14s for that. I know the ones that we raffled off in the beginning from Dark Industries were refurbished, essentially brand new specs. And they were on the low end, like $2,000. So yeah, you could probably find like a set of just straight off the shelf after, you know, being hammer fucked by some marine in the desert surplus.
Right.
PVS-14s for like $1,000.
Exactly. And the lenses will be all scratched. Like they won't be able to hold a battery. Like you have no gain, you have no contrast on them. They're just fucked up.
Or maybe, I don't know. Maybe you could get lucky.
Sure.
I feel like these companies scoop those up in order to refurb them and sell them at a higher premium. So I don't know how much is available.
But every once in a while, like a question I get asked a lot, and I always have a kind of a canned answer. Like people ask me like, I'm buying my first handgun. What do you recommend? And it's like, the default answer is always Glock 19, right? It's like a meme at this point, right? But I tell them like, hey, check out fucking police auctions and shit like that. Or like LE surplus, because oftentimes those guns were fired twice a year.
Yeah.
And they just sat in a holster for the 5 or 6 years that they were in service. And then, you know, the next gen came out and cops loved their fucking toys. So like they had to buy the gen fives and they got rid of the gen fours for, you know, for whatever reason. And so you'll get almost a barely broken in Glock that's 5 years old for, you know, half of what you would pay like retail. So I feel like night vision, there's room there for that as well. Like somewhere out there, you might get lucky and like, hey, here's an old set of PVS-14s. It just needs new battery housing or a battery cap or like something, you know, some part of like the basic item issue, you know, like it needs a new J arm or some shit.
Yeah, which you can buy. There is, I think that there's a ton of stuff that is going to be available specifically in the next like 5 to 10 years. I mean, definitely 5 to 10 years, but like I just the way that you're seeing more of these companies coming out, a lot of stuff coming out of China that makes it more affordable for people. You know, you might not be getting the best quality stuff, but just getting into the night vision game at an affordable price is better than not having it at all.
I look at it as tiers, right? Any kit or gear I buy, I'm looking, well, this is in my former life, like I'm doing this less so now, right? But it's like you have your hobbyist tier, which is like, hey, I want to try this out. I want to get into it. There's like no way that this will ever be used in like a real life scenario. And that's like for the guys that want to shoot like action matches or, you know, they're getting into three gun or they're going to do IDPA kind of thing. And then the next tier is like the practical tier. Like, okay, this is going to be stuff that I'm going to be carrying every day. And then you have like your high end tier, which is like, this is Gucci kit that I'm just going off at this point. Right. And there is a lot of good shit at the hobbyist level. 10 years ago, everyone was shitting on HoloSun because it was coming from China. And it's like, oh, this is like Chinese bullshit optics and blah, blah, blah. Dudes in Ukraine are using fucking HoloSuns and they're using them effectively. they're almost blast proof at this point. Like, buy a fucking Hollow Sun, for Christ's sakes.
I'm sold after you know, I've shot them a few times on people's guns. I don't own one, but I'm sold on them. I mean, they're, for what they cost, I think they're a great optic for the money. You know, yeah, it's for under $500, you can get a magnifier and a red dot for your rifle. That's nuts. Especially when you're looking at $1,200 for an EOTech, a comparable EOTech, you know, like you said, though, a couple years ago, you know, I would have, if somebody said they were running a Hollow Sun, like in a war zone, I'd be like, well, damn, like, I guess you got to work with what you have. But
right.
Seeing that stuff perform now, and I don't have any, to be fair, like, I don't have any secondhand knowledge of Hollow Suns specifically, but if you're saying that you're seeing people rock Hollow Suns in Ukraine, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I was seeing some of that, and I mean, that's like just like via social media posts. Like, I have no like personal experience. I haven't been there since 18. And again, like, that's that like practical tier, like the hobbyist tier versus practical tier. If like all you're gonna do is like flat range shit, then it is absolutely fine and probably preferred, because the money you're saving, that's ammo or that's like training money or whatever, right? If this is like something you're gonna put on a work rifle, and like your job is to deploy that rifle effectively when the time comes, then you know, maybe you want that EOTech, you know. And honestly, if you are deploying a rifle in the course of your daily duties or whatever it is, you probably have like some sort of contract that you're not paying out of pocket for that anyway, right?
Yeah, if you're an American.
Last time I checked, was America. Yeah, that's what I tell people, is just like, hey, like, I'm a buy once, cry once guy, but there's still plenty of really good shit at the hobbyist level, the hobbyist tier, that is quality that you can spend your money on and get like multiple years of use out of. Like, it'll take a beating. I would not recommend, like, for instance, I would not recommend Vortex's like lower end stuff. That shit is junk. That shit is like, it's garbage. But their high end stuff is actually really, really nice.
It's super nice.
Yeah.
The price is also significantly different. Yeah. Well, it's probably they choose to make a lower end optic so that other people can use rock their optics, but their specs aren't as good. I have a Strike Eagle on mine, which is one of the lower end optics. I would say it's like lower mid tier.
Is it the 1-6 or is it the 1-8?
1-6.
Okay. Yeah. I had a Strike Eagle 1-6 too. And that's a fine LPVO. It's fine. Yeah.
For what I use it for, like, I use it for competitions every now and then. Yeah. I use it for, if it was something that I was using monthly, even, you know, I might upgrade if I even noticed the difference. But to be fair, like, I've shot with a razor too before. And yeah, you can notice a difference in the glass quality and the clarity, but for the price difference, for what did I pay for that? Oh, like just over $400, I think, at the time when I bought it.
I remember
my Unity mount was about the same price as the optic. And I was like, damn.
Honestly, that's not a bad thing though.
No, like, no, you want, of course,
a quality mount, right?
Yes. Yeah. Unity makes good stuff. Yeah. Well, that's why I got it. Cause I was like, if my optic shits the bed, that's one thing, but if I lose everything because I bought an Amazon mount, then that's gonna feel fucking stupid, because I'm not dummy courting shit. Dummy courting doesn't look cool outside of the military. It doesn't look cool in the military. Yeah,
it's funny, like, I had a dude used to shoot with all the time, like, way back when. He got his first AR, and he got like an older gen EOTech, with the one that took like the AA batteries that would last for maybe an hour as soon as you turned it on. And so he starts busting out the 550 cord. Like, we're just hanging out in his garage, like, knocking back some beers, and he's taking out this 550 cord to start dummy cording.
Hell yeah.
EOTech. And to be fair, he was a Ranger brat. You know, he came up through like 75th Ranger Regiment, and just that shit was probably just indoctrinated into him from the rip, right?
Yeah.
So, and I remember just looking over, I'm like, what are you doing, dude? And he's just like, oh, dummy cording this to the rifle, man. Like, you don't need to do that,
bro,
right?
there is a whole level of like people who come out of the military and the only shooting experience they've ever had is in the military are under this false impression that they know things. And I'm talking about your general rank and file guy who does 4 years in a non-infantry MOS or even an infantry MOS. Like, I did 6 years in the reserves, which, you know, for what it's worth, I felt like I knew my way around a rifle. And then when I got out, because the only shooting experience I had was from the Marines, I was like, well, yeah, I'm going to put a broom handle bipod on my personal AR because that's what I had in the Marines, and it's so practical, right? Like you can just rest it on the ground and you don't have to worry about it getting dirty. Yeah, that's the only thing it's good for. And so you can rest your rifle on the ground and you don't have to it's a kickstand. You don't have to worry about getting dirt in the upper and the bolt carrier group. But as far as like ergonomics, it fucking sucks.
It's so stupid.
But like that's a thing that people I'm so happy are realizing now is that people who say that their experience comes from the military and nothing else should not be trusted when giving firearms advice. I'm sorry, but it's the same as getting advice from your FUD uncle who's hasn't bought a new firearm in 20 years or only buys, you know, revolvers or only buys, you know,
1911s
or whatever right. have you. If you have somebody who's claiming to know stuff, but they've only got one specific discipline that they got their knowledge from, go elsewhere.
I think that's a huge red flag. Everything you described is a huge red flag. I would tell people who are like interested in going to classes and getting instruction, whether it's like your basic firearms handling class or it's something a little bit more advanced or whatever, ask your instructors what was the last class they took.
Yes, 100%.
That should if you have any questions at all about like the validity of anything they're teaching you, it's like, well, what and you know, obviously serve them that shit sandwich with like some lettuce and tomato and special sauce on it. Don't just give them bread, shit bread, but be like, you know, hey, you know, what are classes that you like? When was the last time you took a class and what did you like about it and all this other stuff?
You can ask, do you have any classes that you recommend that you've taken recently?
Yeah, exactly. And if they can't answer that question with like some semblance of confidence, or if they get offended by that question, it's like, that's not a good instructor. That's not somebody you want to probably take, because like to your point, they probably are resting on their laurels from GWAT service back in like 2008 and they've just been coasting on that shit. And and shooting as a sport and shooting as like a practical application of violence has changed so much in the last 15 years that like old washed up soft dudes from 2006 who, you know, were teaching classes through the 20 teens, you know, like they don't know what the fuck they're talking about anymore. Like that emphasis on CQB and limited engagement type shit, that's not modern. That's not today. The emphasis, honestly, what they're teaching now in the military is they're going back to like the fundamentals of like long range engagement. Yeah. As I was exiting, they were, starting to start the trials for like the new like 6.8 round that's going to allegedly replace like the 5.56 and like the new whatever the rifle is that's supposed to be replacing the M4 and the new like the crazy fucking Vortex optic that has like the rangefinder built into it and the ballistic calculator built into it and all this other shit.
Is that what they're giving grunts?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And like, there's what they say they're going to do. And then there's like what's actually going to happen. Right. Yeah, so like, I imagine you'll see I don't know if you've seen pictures of it, but it's like an LPVO with a bunch of just
shit on top. It's got a Game Boy on top of it.
Yeah, basically, yes, right? What it's supposed to do is it's got like the laser rangefinder on it. It's got the ballistic calculator in it. You're supposed to like laser target, and then it will move that reticle to where you need to be aiming to like one hit that target, which is dope. That's some like futuristic cyberpunk shit. I'm here for it all fucking day, right? But I also know the average fucking private getting that shit in the arms room is going to immediately drop it.
Yeah.
And, you know, or it's like, they're not going to get the right training because they're getting training from like the 24-year-old staff sergeant who he just got training on it from like the civilians. He went to like a 2-day class and he's like overwhelmed and just be like, fuck, private, just point it that way and shoot. Right. So we'll see. We'll see if when it finally gets down to the end user, how like effective it is. And I'm sure it'll go through many different changes over time, because that's just the way like defense acquisitions works. But the demos they showed us were super fucking cool.
Yeah, they're sick, dude. And, you know, part of me thinks that there's a bit of a mix of our inflexibility as we get older and, you know, our aversion to new things coming out on the market because it's different than what we grew up with. Like when I went through boot camp, we learned on irons, and I didn't get an optic on my rifle until I got to my unit. Now, you know, they don't even shoot with irons in boot camp anymore. And I used to think, well, what happens if you have to pick up an enemy's AK and shoot it. Yeah. That doesn't fucking happen. That doesn't happen.
No.
Like, so, you know, to say this because that's what you remember your uncle talking about back from his days in Vietnam when it was a real concern because they had the M16s and they sucked. So they were picking, they were shooting AKs and M14s and whatnot. Like, that's not, it's just not realistic now. And I feel like part of it is, you know, when we get to a point where, listen, we can talk about government subsidies and how we've got this grossly inflated defense budget and whatnot. But at the end of the day, our government is not going to scrimp when it comes to, they might be a little behind. You know, you're going to see the tier one guys get the shit first. But like, I remember when I got in, we still had, I forget what they were called, but they were like the flak jackets. And then we went to the Eagle Industries Mar Sirius, and now they've got like legit plate carriers. You know, eventually we're going to get to the point where everyone's going to have it. They're going to have a surplus because government contracts never end. And, you know, that's just what is going to be the new norm. So at the end of the day, like, you know, if it makes, I get, dude, I hear myself in my head. I'm like, yeah, if it makes us more combat effective, then I'm all for it. But like, but then I'll step away from this conversation and I'll be like, man, we spend way too much fucking money on the military.
Well, it's like, it's okay. So you remember like last year when that was it like an F-35? Like the guy just fucking bailed out and the thing crashed in the middle of North Carolina.
Yeah, it was DEI.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. It's so, it was that woke F-35 just decided to
Yeah, it was DEI. Right? DEI engineers and the pilots. And
but it's like that one woke jet could have like fed how many school kids?
Yeah,
like come on.
Oh, I know.
Like, for fuck's sakes. Like,
yeah, I know.
It's yeah, and it's gross, and we could talk about that all day. But rather, I want to give you my number one FUD take, as it pertains to like shit we put on fucking weapons, right? Look, okay, in the interest of full disclosure, I have many like pistol dots, right? I run one as an offset to my LPVO on my competition gun. I have one that I have mounted onto a Glock 17. I don't like them. I don't like them. I've tried dry firing. I've tried running them in competitions. I came up on iron sights on pistols. I like the aesthetic of running a dot. From a practical standpoint, I don't like it. I just don't like it.
You don't think it makes you a better shooter?
No, I think it makes me way. I'm way worse when I run my gun with a dot, and I do it like a few times a year because I'm like, all right,
yeah.
It's like candy corn. Right? Like, it takes me a year to forget how much I fucking hate candy corn, you know? So like it comes back around like September, October, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna get fucking candy corn a try again. Maybe this is the year. And that's me shooting a dot pistol.
Bro, I fucking love candy corn and I love dot pistols. So
so that's you. You're coated.
yeah, fucking, I'm coated.
You're
I'm dot coated. I'm candy corn dot coated.
Yeah. You're fucking candy corn filled.
Yeah. Oh man, no, I hear you, man. Do you think it's more that like you get, what is it, you get distracted by it, do you get like fixated on it, like do you?
I think I'm thinking too much about it. I'm overthinking it coming out of the holster because I've been shooting pistols professionally and professionally for 20 something years, and competition wise 15-ish years, and my draw is my draw, and I'm always going to punch out and find that front sight, and that front sight's going to go right over a fuzzy target. And I know there's like a new school approach to this type of pistol engagement and shit, where it's like, yeah, fuck it, like you're like, the way I was taught was like, target is fuzzy, front sight is clear as day, rear sights are fuzzy, right? And now the new school shit is like, your target is clear as day, your sights are fuzzy, right?
Yeah, your dot is fuzzy.
Your dot is fuzzy, like whatever, right? And I can't make that mental adjustment.
My dot's fuzzy regardless because I have an astigmatism. But
astigmatism? Yeah. But coming out of the holster and punching out, I'm trying to find that dot. And if I don't pick it up when I'm like halfway to lockout and I've already started engaging my trigger, I'm like, I'm doing the fish. I'm swimming for it, you know, kind of a thing. And then I'm trying to pick it up. And then I lose confidence in my dot when I do pick it up at longer ranges, because I have that thing like zeroed for 50, like a 15 yard dot. So anything that's past that, I'm like wondering what's the hold, you know? Yeah. It's great for in close. So for on my rifle setup as an offset, it's like as soon as I camp that to 45 degrees for an in close engagement, it's right there. It's right there. And as soon as it's on like cardboard, I'm hammering the shit out of that trigger and it's perfect. Yeah. But so that's, I think my biggest problem with the dot on a pistol is just being able to pick it up as I'm used to picking up my sights, as well as the confidence in my longer range engagements. So I'd rather just go back to what I know.
Well, and that's the thing. Like for me, I was comfortable shooting with irons, but I had not had the history to where it was hard for me to make the transition because I didn't shoot pistols in the military. My range days usually were very like impractical static range shit, you know, whenever I would go to the range. Yeah. So like the amount of like range time I really had with my irons was like fundamentals shooting by and large. I did a couple shoot houses back when they had one up here. They don't have it anymore, unfortunately, and it sucks because there's nothing near here anymore. But
because Connecticut,
it was I don't even know what it was. I think the guy went back into the teams or something like that, the guy who ran it, but that was just a rumor. I don't know. He was like a very, very one of those dudes that you're like, this guy's definitely fucking killed people. you know like the difference between like when you're looking at a Ranger versus a Delta dude.
Yeah.
And, and you just can tell like this dude is about it. Not that nothing against Rangers, but like there's a difference. There's a fucking like, you know.
Yeah, there's a very quiet, subtle difference. Like there's like an energy or like a vibe, I guess.
The energy is like if you've been around it, you know exactly what that is. It's a discomfort.
It's discomforting for you.
Yes.
For them, they
don't fucking care. Yeah, they don't care.
Yeah.
It's like an unknown. It's a mysterious feeling is really what it is. Is where the discomfort comes from. You know, because you see guys like they'll very rarely have morale patches. They'll very rarely have like they won't have unit patches. They won't have like, you know, it's and they're all yoked. They're all like they're all just like
friend out of their fucking minds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It was fucking great. But anyway, I went to Red Dots as soon as I could. I think the dudes from Yellow Peril Tactical shamed me into it. And with my new Glock, I put a red dot on it and it's fucking great. I love your cat.
Yeah. Simon.
Love your cat. Ask if she wants me to blur her face out.
Do you want your face blurred out? She doesn't care.
Okay.
But do blur the cat out.
Blur
Simon's face out.
I'll blur the cat.
Throw a big black bar over Simon's eyes, please.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like we're in a flow right now, but I don't want to talk about a whole bunch of shit that we're going to talk about when we actually have you on.
It is absolutely fine. Yeah, we can wrap. We're at an hour and 15. If there's like a filler week that you guys need and you want to use like chunks of this or you want to do like a best of compilation, feel free. I don't care. I'm not a cop. I'm not going to tell you.
I'm not a cop.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, we'll figure it out, man. Dude, it's so fucked up. Have you seen this movie, the show Shogun?
I've been, it is in my queue, and I have been meaning to start that show.
Bro,
and
it's so fucking good. But the problem is, whenever I watch these shows and I'm super committed, I start adopting mannerisms from them. And the problem is that this cast is almost entirely Japanese. And some of the mannerisms, when done by a white dude, are not good.
They're best case cringy.
They're cringy, best case, worst case, racist as fuck.
Have you bought a schoolgirl shaped pillow yet?
No, but I do have Sinistral Rifleman pillowcase.
Oh, okay. Not as problematic.
It was given to me, but I still love it. Because Russell's a great guy. I haven't put it on a pillow yet because I won't do that to my wife, but it is with
my
me.
Wife.
But what was I saying? Where was I going with that? I don't know.
Shogun.
I
don't
it's know. Great. Yeah,
I didn't mean to start it.
I see I myself, I catch myself almost wanting to do like, they have these like, I say they, I mean the characters, not Japanese people, like these noises of affirmation that they'll do. Like it's not, like they're not saying hi, like yes. It's they'll somebody will say something and they'll just be like, oh. And I find myself wanting to do. No, seriously, it captions
fucking
it.
Do it. Just do it. Just do it. Just
it
do it.
Captions it. It captions it too. And it's like, I forget what it says, but they'll say something and they'll just be like, it's like saying I, sir, versus yes, sir.
Yeah. I say fucking do it, dude. Like, cause okay. So here's how this plays out, right? If no one knows what the fuck you're doing, they're either going to think you have like a tick, which they'll be a real asshole to call you out for that. Or
you're underestimating the asshole nature of my friends.
Or they're just like, okay, that's Jordan being Jordan, right? If they get what you're doing and they call you out for it, you immediately can be like, oh, so you've seen the show too. Oh, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Like, you're not doing it too. You're not thinking about doing the exact same thing. I'm brave enough to fucking do it. All right.
I'm brave enough. Brave as a straight cis white man.
Yeah, exactly. I have the confidence.
Yeah, I have the confidence to say whatever racist shit I want with zero repercussions.
It's not.
No, I know. Racist. I don't necessarily think. I think when done in the right context and with like positive intent, you know, this doesn't apply to everything. You can't say the N-word like in a chipper way and be okay with it. Like, howdy. Not gonna work. Hey,
good morning.
Yeah, exactly. Like that Chappelle skit. That was before Chappelle got like brain rot and when he was funny. So I have cousins who are Japanese and I've asked them this. So I watched an episode of Succession where one of the guys set up the table and was wearing a kimono for the Japanese business partners that were coming in, whatever the male version of a kimono is, I forget what it is, or if it's called the same thing.
I believe it's called just a kimono.
Oh, it might be.
Yeah, I have a bunch of like saved on my Etsy.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. They look comfortable as fuck. He was swearing that they were going to, it was going to work out well, and it was going to be good, and not be seen as condescending because it looked as if they put effort into knowing things about the men that were coming from Japan beforehand. Right. And I asked my cousins that, and they were like, absolutely. Like if you say something in Japanese or if you like bring us something that is Japanese, it's not seen as like pandering or condescending. It is extremely respectful. So I think when, in the same way, like when done with the right intent, things, not everything co-opted from another race is racist.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And you, and having that context is key, right? Like,
yeah, very much so.
And it doesn't, and that does not a broad application either, as previously discussed.
No, specific things.
Yeah. My experience with that is, you know, like when I was doing my work in Ukraine, the majority of the population speaks Russian. There has been and probably continues to be a movement to get more people to speak Ukrainian, and like the two language, and like this is me being I guess like maybe somewhat ignorant, but the two languages are very similar, then there is a lot of crossover, but one key difference is in Russian to say thank you is Siva, in Ukrainian it's Jack-you. And me saying Jack-you to Ukrainians while I was there, like massive appeal, because I was showing the effort that like, hey, I recognize your culture is different than, you know, what the rest of the outside world probably sees it as. And so I think those little touches, whether you're wearing a kimono for a Japanese delegation or you want to grunt
on a Tuesday,
like, or on a Tuesday, wait a second, do I work on Tuesdays? I don't know. Whatever days I don't have off, I would absolutely wear a kimono and nothing else around here while I just day drink.
That being said, I'm not going to wear a kimono to the Asian market.
No.
Because that's cringe.
No, that's weird. That's weird.
That's weird.
And with your complexion, their powder, no.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no. You're in furry territory at that point.
Yeah.
Listen, no hate on the furries, you know, as far as hobbies go,
except those Third Reich guys. Fuck those guys.
Fucking what Nazis.
You don't know about the Third Reich?
Fuck no. What?
Wait. There is a contingent of furries that are fucking Nazis and they go by the Third Reich. Yeah, are you googling it right now?
The Third Reich, the truth about Nazi furries and the alt-right. What?
Yes.
Holy fuck. What is this? It's a furry. It's a furry with fucking
swastika armband.
Yeah, bro. Share your screen.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not making this shit up. I am not making this shit up.
Look at how proud he looks.
Yeah, he is standing tall. that, I don't know, marsupial.
I didn't take any consideration because my lack of World War II knowledge, he says, I don't think I could ever take it off at this point. It's so ingrained into my character, my persona. Oh my fucking God, dude.
I'm not fucking kidding. I was not making that shit up.
So, all right, hot take here. Like, this...
Send it.
I'm sorry, dude. I did not have this on my bingo card. It's just a piece of cloth. That's really what it is. Dude, I'm truly shocked.
That thing is...
It gets weird. Dude, it's this whole article is cursed. This whole article is cursed. What?
Jordan is like losing his fucking mind.
Does he hate black people? There are two parts to that one. First of all, in my normal... I'm quoting. This is not me. In my normal day life, not at all. He says... But in my personal sexual life, I don't like any race, which means I wouldn't sleep with black men. Bro,
I'm so happy I got to introduce you to this. Oh my God.
I don't know how to channel the feeling that I have right now into something productive because I have not wanted to punch a wall since like high school. And I want to put my fucking fist through something. The fact that I'm all about freedom of speech. I think freedom of speech is like pretty much limitless up until the point that it hurts other people. But this makes me question that.
Oh my God. Yeah. 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 It's a
what
real
the
fucking
fuck
thing.
Is this cartoon? Is that a Nazi with a rabbit at the table?
Yes.
You're hot. Oh my God.
They're making salad, I guess. I don't know. Like, fuck.
Oh my God, dude. Does it keep going? No. Good thing they've been rejected by Richard Spencer. That's good to know.
Oh, good to know. Yeah. Richard Spencer, very famously out on the Third Reich.
Is he the one who got punched in the face at the rally?
Yeah, probably. I hope so. If he's not, then he should have.
Wow.
And it's wild. They're like, these pictures are all taken in public. They're in public spaces. Like, go to that, roll back up. That looks like it's a movie theater or a bar or something. I don't know.
It looks like an Applebee's. Please wait to be seated. Look, please wait to be seated. They're at an Outback Steakhouse, just rocking their
another blooming onion.
Oh my God, dude. Wow. Well, on that note, this guy's a fucking shapeshifter. Puka is his name. Mm-hmm. Good. I don't know if there is a hell because I don't necessarily believe in all that, but if there is, all of these people will be there. Holy shit. Anyway, as I was saying, geez. I don't judge furries in general, but these ones, I should say I don't judge furries, but I almost do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, listen, everyone should have their hobby, and I think it's awesome if it makes you feel cool and stuff. Mm-hmm. But as somebody who has genuine like social anxiety and stuff, the thought of walking around in a costume is strange to me.
I thought you were gonna say with social anxiety, if you saw
no, so it's
a furry approaching you, like I think I would be uncomfortable, especially if they were
That's what it is. It makes me feel weird to be around them.
Yeah.
It's like hanging out with your friend in the group who like won't, this is really it. Like I liken it to like, if I had a racist friend who wouldn't stop saying racist shit in public, I'd be like, dude, shut the fuck up. Stop.
Why would you be his friend?
No, but I'm saying the feeling that you would get if you were, I don't have friends like that. Like,
I'm not saying you do, but it's like, I feel like it's a very simple equation. Like, oh, you can't stop saying the N-word. All right. Well, I guess we're never hanging out.
Jim, I'm talking about in a hypothetical situation. If you had a friend that started saying racist shit in public, you'd be like, dude, shut the fuck up. That's the feeling I have when I'm around furries. Like, stop. Like, oh. It's like, for some reason, I think it's just an uncomfortable, like a unfamiliarity thing. Or you know what it is? Like, you know what it is? It's a, what's it called? Where something is like human-like, but not quite, and it makes you uncomfortable.
Oh, like
Uncanny Valley.
Uncanny Valley, yes. And it's very, there's something very unnatural about it.
Yeah, like I don't hate it. Yeah, it's like there's nothing I have against furries, really, like on a foundational level, but it makes me uncomfortable. And this makes me even worse. Whoa, dude.
Just the way this guy is standing in that
holy shit,
it's unsettling. It's just the way the leering, the unblinking eyes of that.
Yes, no blinking. They don't blink because why would they? It's a mask.
Yeah,
bro. I have to say, because I have to say again, because my reaction was so extreme, I don't have a problem, and I feel like I have to say this, I don't have a problem with furries, but yeah, I don't know, man. That was a lot. That was like,
I've never seen you have a reaction like that. I am so glad I was here for this.
I'm glad you were here for it. I'm glad you told me about this.
You piggies listening at home, Jordan, it was like in 5 seconds, Jordan's face went from disbelief to shock to anger to disbelief. It was like this whole cycle of emotions played out in 5 seconds. You literally threw your hands up over your head and started, like, you were shaking. It was wild. That was, man, what a great day.
I don't think I've been shook like that. And thank you. Well, thank you for showing me, I mean, giving me this experience that I will never forget. I will never forget what the Third Reich is now, for sure. That is ingrained into my brain. Holy shit,
oh,
dude.
Shit. Holy shit. If that's not premium content slop, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know.
Well, dude, on that note.
Yeah. I mean, I think this episode's in the can.
That's good, man. I had a fun time with you. That's why I was like, our guest canceled. Do you want to still talk?
Yeah, fucking, I'm down for whatever, man. But yeah, anytime you want me to come on guest host, I am happy to do so. If you want me to come on and we'll do a full real time episode, we can do that. We can talk about everything that's broken with our military, or we can.
Yeah, absolutely. I got a backup date for our guest, but I have to look at my phone, which has my calendar on it, before mm-hmm. I can determine whether or not I'm available that day. But I'll send that to you. And if you're available,
yeah,
then
sure.
I'd love to have you guest host it. All right, man. Stop. Well, do you want to end on a piece of advice? I know this was unprompted and wasn't like a actual episode, but oh, for those of you listening right now, if this ends up being an actual episode, check out our Patreon and go support us there, because that's how we make money and pay our bills on this. And, you know, even if you don't do that, we still appreciate you, because we do this for the love of the game and truly enjoy. Yeah. For the culture. If I didn't do this, I would never have known what the Third Reich was. So if you enjoyed any bit of this, go check out our Patreon and support the cause.
If this becomes an actual episode, hey, why don't you spend a little bit of your hard earned cash at the A Better Way to a store? Use code PIPOG, PIPEHAWK. You can take some dollars off your overall purchase, and then get a little something back. Yeah, so do that. You can follow me, PipeHawk _ consulting on IG. I'm also on Threads for some goddamn reason. I just shitpost, and sometimes I give out some quality advice. Sometimes I post thirst traps every Friday. Generally,
Flipbook Friday is always
Flipbook Fridays
knowledge. I like this last one you did
with the policing, American policing. Yeah, that was that was fun to do. I've been lacking on my dispatches every Monday. You can sign up on pipehawkconsulting.com. Generally, every Monday I put out a dispatch. At least it's been like one every 2 weeks. But that's just like a little newsletter, a little blog I do, and whatever. Piece of advice, parting piece of advice. Shit, I always like I. Since the last time I was on, and I completely fucked this up because I was like blindsided by it, because I always turn off podcasts like with 5 minutes left to go. You remember that? Yeah.
You didn't even know that the advice portion was a part of the podcast.
Yeah, because it's like I get to a point and I'm like, all right, I got the gist.
Yeah, you got it. You got the gist.
Yeah, whatever.
You can tell it's winding down. It's time to leave. Irish goodbye, the podcast.
Yeah, I am the king of Irish goodbyes, might I also add. All right, so I've always like, I'm going to keep this piece of advice in my back pocket for like situations like this. I've totally fucking blanked on it. Okay, this is my piece of advice for the community at large. Wash your asses. Wash your fucking asses. Jesus H. Christ. Grown ass adults. But the fact that we have a company called Dude Wipes that markets fucking wet wipes to men should tell you something. You shouldn't need a cartoon Sasquatch to tell you to wash your balls. All right. You're all grown people, whether it's you got balls or flaps or something else, wash them. All right. Wash your asses. It takes 2 seconds in the shower. Sometimes it feels good. Just wash your asses. That's my advice for the community.
I think it feels great. You know what I love doing? Getting the shampoo that comes off of my head, goes down my back, and doing like the mashed potato dance with your hand on your ass crack. You know, like you're splashing the water up there, you're cleaning it, mm-hmm. getting get all sudsy mm-hmm. and stuff like that. I hate that I called it the mashed potato dance. I wish I could take that back. But mm-hmm. you know mm-hmm. what I mean.
You're our like, podcasting.
Doing a couple credit cards, doing a couple, you know, whether you use a loofah or your bare hands or a finger, whatever.
I point my ass directly at the shower head and I twerk for a solid 10 seconds.
Why did I not doubt that for 1 second until you said twerk? I was like, yeah, I could definitely see how Jim could like touch his toes and just wash his asshole with the shower head. Bro, it's hilarious. So like having a 2.5-year-old, she's potty trained now. And the one thing that I don't trust her to do, I mean, I don't trust her to do plenty of things. She doesn't drive either. But the one thing that I have to do for her still is like wipe, because she does not understand the concept of covering your hand with toilet paper or like making sure you don't grab your shit from your asshole. Like she has literally showed me a handful of shit before.
Oh, God.
That she wiped off her ass after pooping. And like, dude, it's so innocent. But I cannot help but gag. Like, I hate it. I hate it. I wish I could turn it off. And I love her to death. And these moments are truly gold for me because they'll never happen again. But I make sure to wipe her butt for her. And the easiest way I've told her to do it is like, all right, honey, touch your toes. She touches her toes and she's 2.5 years old. So like, I can't tell her, honey, like I have to wipe your butt. Like she knows what I'm doing, but she touches her toes. It's perfect position to like make sure she's got no poop on her. You know, probably too much information, but it really hammered home the fact that like bidets are where it's at, because you do a wipe with toilet paper and there's still poop there.
One thing we've talked about too is, and I think like, so when I started going to Europe for work a bunch, I got introduced to bidets, and then I was like, what is this? I discovered bidets and I'm like, I need this in my life 24/7. The bidet is like such a fucking game changer. And the fact that we as a culture here in the West have relied on wadded up paper to wipe our asses.
Yeah.
And it is mind blowing. It's just like, that is the least sanitary thing you could fucking imagine. Yeah.
It's so weird.
I feel like, hey, if you're buying a new house or whatever, like, or if that's even available in the next like couple of years, cause who fucking knows. Right. But like put a bidet in. And they even make the ones you can get at like Home Depot and install after the fact. Just get a fucking bidet. Like that shit takes care of itself and it's well worth it. Get a fucking bidet. Don't go and buy $8 fucking wet wipes that are just going to clog up your fucking sewage system, or you have to like throw into the little basket by the toilet and just going to, now you have this shit covered wet wipe that's going to stare at you for the next week until you change out the bin. Yeah. You know, like get a bidet. Get a bidet. Get a bidet, wash your asses, adults, men, women, everyone else, wash your fucking asses. Please, for the love of God.
On that note, what the fuck is up with this full body deodorant fade, like thing that I've been seeing everywhere?
Jesus.
Why is full body deodorant all of a sudden a thing? This wasn't a thing 5 years ago, 2 years ago, a year ago even. Like, why is it all of a sudden that full body deodorant is available?
The four horsemen of the apocalypse in 2025, full body deodorant. This woman leaning into, you know, a camera and telling me that she's putting this cream in all sorts of different places at all sorts of hours. AI, the AI ad voice, I'm super fucking over that. Next time I hear an AI fucking voice pitching me on something.
Oh, I skip immediately if somebody's using an AI voice on their
videos.
Don't
skip the ads on this podcast, because we would never use an AI voice.
No, we're too good for that.
And we can't afford it. Number three, gambling apps. Is gambling legal in Connecticut?
Yes, and so are the apps.
Yeah, and the apps, and it's nonstop. And then the fourth horseman is the AI gambling ads that I have to listen to every single fucking day, multiple times a day. I'm ready to wash my mouth out with Buckshot. So four horsemen, full body deodorant, AI ads, gambling ads. That's 2025's four horsemen.
And it'll be a different four next year.
Yeah, it'll be different for next month, Jordan. Jesus Christ.
I know. Man, what a time. What a time to be alive.
Come on,
2032.
Yes.
People have won on lower than 3% odds before.
Yeah, it can be us.
Yeah.
It can be us.
On that note, thanks for coming on, man. I know you're meant to be a guest host, and you ended up being a guest. We'll do it again. And it's a great time. Love you, man.
Love you too, Jordan.